appreciate the good singing. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8, continuing to look at the first few chapters of Luke regarding some of Mary's experiences. Luke chapter 2, we'll stand, we'll read verses 8 down through verse number 20 or so. 20, actually. Stand if you would when you find your place. And I would ask you to consider this question. Are we being faithful to the truths God has given us? What does that even look like? How are we to be faithful? What is faithfulness to God's revelation, God's word, God's truth? What does that look like? We're going to look at that this morning, and I pray that we'll all receive help from the Lord for it. But let's pray, and then we'll get into our text. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to look into your word. We're thankful for what we have already heard. We are thankful for the peace that you give us. And Lord, the peace that the angels spoke of, we're glad that it is true in the heart of every believer. But Lord, we long for the day when it is true over all of your creation. We're thankful that you have revealed yourself to us. I pray that you would help us to be faithful to the word that you've given us, your revelation. Help us to learn the lesson that Mary teaches us this morning. Help us to receive your word with a willing heart. Speak to each heart, I pray. Encourage your people. Save those that may be here that have never trusted you. We need your help. What we know not, teach us. What we have not, grant us. What we are not, make us. Give us ears to hear and a heart to believe. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse number 8, the Bible says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." Thinking you can be seated. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord endures forever. Luke chapter 2 is perhaps one of the most widely recognized passages in the Bible. Psalm 23 is another one, but as it relates to Christmas, probably no passage is as familiar as Luke chapter 2. Linus, if you don't know who Linus is, we can't be friends. Linus quoted this passage in the Charles Schulz classic Christmas special, Peanuts. And if you haven't watched it this year, you better hurry up, because you have to watch that one, and you have to watch Miracle on 34th Street. It's a rule. Not that. I'm sorry. Not Miracle. It's a Wonderful Life. You know, Merry Christmas, Bedford Falls. That one. All right. Linus quotes Luke chapter 2. In many family gatherings, Luke chapter 2 will be read. The deacons got together recently, and Jerry read Luke chapter 2. It's found on many Christmas cards, and this passage will be quoted from tonight in the children's Christmas play. This passage is, in many respects, synonymous with Christmas. And I think it's true because of how poignantly it's written, and because it gives us a detailed account of God's gracious gift to fallen sinners. From the angel appearing to Mary, and the angelic choir announcing the birth of the king to the shepherds, and the shepherds recounting all that they had seen and heard to Mary, and worshiping at the feet of the Savior, even though he's a little baby. All of this paints a wonderful picture of Christmas. When we think of Christmas, these are the events that come into our mind many times. But all of these events, the angelic choir and the angels and the announcement to Mary, and no doubt even Elizabeth's words, all of these intersect in front of the young Mary. And she no doubt doesn't understand what to make of all this. And Luke describes her reaction, and Luke probably received the details of this account directly from Mary. And so as Luke describes Mary's reaction, he simply says in verse 19, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And verse number 19 is where I want to focus this morning. Mary provides for us an example of how to faithfully respond to the things God graciously reveals to us. If you want to know how to be faithful to the things that God has revealed to us, Mary is one example of that. And so today, as we focus on verse 19, I want to show you three truths regarding Mary's response to the work of God in her life. Number one, Mary received a revelation from God. Number two, Mary treasured all that she received from God. And number three, Mary was diligent in her pursuit of the truths she received. She received a revelation from God, she treasured all that she received, and she was diligent in her pursuit. Verse number 19 simply says, Mary kept all these things. And I would remind you that it is an immense act of grace that God would reveal himself to us. I think so often we fail to realize, or perhaps we take it for granted, of what a precious gift it is that God has revealed himself to us. If God is transcendent, and he is holy and righteous and omnipotent and eternal, if he is all of these things outside of time and space, then the only way that you and I would be able to know him is if he reveals himself to us. And he's done that. And so I want to press upon all of our hearts this morning how wonderful it is that God has revealed himself to us. Because the reality is, people have lived throughout history without a full revelation of God. And furthermore, people live right now who do not share the same revelation from God, the same word from God that you and I enjoy this morning. As Ken got up this morning and read the passage before we received the offering, there are people all over the world, yea, even in the United States, to whom that action is completely foreign. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13, verse 17, for verily, or truly, it means pay attention, I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Jesus is saying many people would love to have received all that you have received, and it simply was not an opportunity for them. Mary received a revelation from God. So when we think about these things, part of these things that Luke is referring to is everything prior. He's talking about everything that Mary has had revealed to her. And if we're thinking about all that Mary has had revealed to her, then we must consider the Old Testament revelations that she received. What I'm saying is that Mary was a young woman, she was a godly woman, and no doubt she was not ignorant of the Old Testament prophecies of the Messiah that would come. When we think of the revelation, and revelation is revealed truth, all right? When we think of the truth that God revealed to Mary, we have to start in these Old Testament prophecies. And we could go all day long talking about those. She no doubt was aware of Genesis 3:15, the Redeemer that was promised that would crush the head of the serpent. That's the verse Debbie always quotes when I tell her we ought to have a pet snake. She said, there's enmity. She was aware of that prophecy. She was aware of the prophecy in Numbers 24 when Balaam said, a scepter shall rise in Israel and a star shall arise. She was aware of Jacob's prophecies to his sons as he lay dying. She was aware of Isaiah who said a virgin would conceive and bear a son. She was aware of Isaiah's other prophecies regarding the Messiah, that unto us a son is given, unto us a Savior is born, the government will be upon his shoulders. She was aware of those things. She was aware of the pictures, no doubt, in the Old Testament that pointed to the Messiah. She was aware of Ezekiel's prophecy of a ruler that would come. She was aware of the prophecy in Micah that a ruler would come out of Israel that would rule his people Israel. She knew all these things. And perhaps she was even familiar with the messianic psalms that pointed to the Savior. So she received revelation from the Old Testament. She understood these things. But when she visited Elizabeth that we talked about last week, and Elizabeth said, blessed is the fruit of your womb. And she said, the mother of my Lord, Elizabeth did. And she praised God and said, blessed is she that believes. Elizabeth confirmed her faith. So that's on her mind. And there's no way that Joseph didn't recount his dreams to her. You know, Joseph being a rational human being and finds out Mary is with child. That's a concern because Joseph's not the father. He knows that. And the angel appears to him and said, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And so Joseph no doubt recounted this to her. And of course there's the revelation that she received directly from the angel that she would bear the Messiah. And of course, now that she's given birth to the Messiah, and the shepherds come and they talk about this angelic choir that appeared and gave the announcement of the birth and told them where to find Christ and told them who Christ would be, all the glories that the shepherds experienced. Now, you talk about a group of fellows and perhaps ladies too among the shepherds group that were excited. This is a group that's excited. And they bow down to worship the Christ child, and they tell Mary all they've experienced. So Mary has received from the Lord numerous revelations. Have you ever heard somebody say, or perhaps you've thought it yourself, you say, you know, it'd be a whole lot easier if God would speak to us like he did the Old Testament prophets. Right? I mean, you know, we know somebody needs to get saved, and we think, well, what if God would just say, Bob, get saved. Right? I guess that thing's off. But that wasn't nearly as cool as I thought it was going to be. Let's try it this way. All right, here we go. That would work, okay. But, you know, how the Lord appeared to Gideon or Jonah, right? And you think about those Old Testament prophets or even the disciples that walked on the earth with the incarnate Christ. And the shepherds that received that angelic visitation, right? We think of all these things, and so often we think, man, wouldn't it be a lot better if we could receive that type of revelation from God? You know, and I've heard skeptics and atheists say, well, if God would reveal himself to me in a real and a miraculous way, I would believe. And I love what William Lane Craig said. No, you wouldn't. Right? Listen to what Peter says about the revelation that you and I received. 2 Peter verse 1, chapter 1, verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well to take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. What Peter says is that all the prophets and all the people that saw the visions and heard the voice of God, so to speak, Peter says you and I have a more sure word of prophecy. The word that you and I have is more sure than what they had. Partly because that's all they have. They didn't have the full revelation of God's word. When I get confused about something or wonder about something, about a verse or a doctrine or some truth, I'd go on my bookshelf, pick one of the Bibles that are on there, and read it for myself. Gideon was confused about what the will of the Lord for him is, and he said, "Oh Lord, here's this fleece." You don't want to be in that position, would you? To rely on a vision from heaven, knowing full well that our eyes deceive us. And you don't think eyes deceive? People talk about seeing UFOs all the time. And with our advanced cameras, not a single good picture's coming out. Maybe every UFO is fuzzy. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe it's not the cameras. Maybe it's the UFOs that are fuzzy. Which is even scarier. You and I have a more sure word of prophecy. What I'm saying to you is that God has revealed himself to us. Hebrews chapter 1, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. You and I have the very word of God. And in fact, when Paul is commending the Thessalonians, he commends them in chapter 2 and verse 13 because they have received as it is in truth the word of God. In other words, he said, when you received the message from me, you understood that what you were receiving is the word of God. So when we read the text before we preach, it's not something that we just recite because we're supposed to recite it. You know, that the Lord will add a blessing to the reading of his word. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord endures forever. We say that because it's needful to be reminded that what you have just heard is the very word of God, and we are therefore responsible to the word that we have received. Mary received a revelation from God. Not only did she receive a revelation from God, but she treasured all that she received. You and I know full well what it's like to hear something and see something and it not mean a whole lot to us. In other words, you saw it, you heard it, but it didn't stay here. I used to work with a guy that if you sent him a text or an email, that it just wasn't good enough. It didn't matter how important it is. It didn't matter if you clicked urgent before you sent that email. Didn't matter if you sent 5 exclamation marks at the end of that subject line. He just, it wouldn't get it. So if you wanted him to get it, you had to take him by the hand and say, I want, not literally, I need you to see this message. Did you read this? Did you see it? Because it's very important that you follow up on this. Because so often, something would be mentioned to him, he'd be like, oh yeah, I saw that, but I didn't think it was very important, so I just deleted it. Or, men, your wife asks you, remember we talked about this? Oh, yes. Some things just don't stick. You see, there's no doubt Mary received a greater revelation than most, but many others received a revelation from God. In other words, Mary is not the only one that received word from God, rather directly or through the lips of someone else about the Messiah that was born. Hebrews chapter 4, talking about ancient Israel, said, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. See, we're not told of anybody that believed the message of the shepherds. And we understand that. You know, something that is told us that's extraordinary. You ever heard somebody tell a story, maybe a little child tell a story, and kids don't always get the details right, and sometimes, you know, they'll turn the bluebirds into redbirds, and you understand all that goes. And then you heard somebody say, aw, I don't believe that story. You're just making things up, right? My mama would say, you're telling stories now. Verse 17 of Luke 2, and when they had seen it, the shepherds, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. In other words, they're going around on the way to worship Jesus, and they'll see somebody say, hey, bro, angels appeared to us. They sang in the sky and told us the Messiah was going to be born over here. You want to come with us? Nah, we'll pass. All right? And the Bible says that many wondered at those things. But apparently that's as far as they got. Listen to what Alexander McLaren said. The hearers of the story did what alas, too many of us do with the gospel. They wondered and stopped there. A feeble ripple of astonishment ruffled at the surface of their souls for a moment, but like the streaks of the sea made by a cat's paw of wind, it soon died out, and the depths were unaffected by it. A lot of people heard the story. Herod, later on, would hear from the wise men. Scripture's filled with a tragic example of those who hear, and there may be some of you sitting in here this morning, you've heard the word, and there's some measure of astonishment from it. It's like, that's a really incredible story. That's fantastic. But beyond the initial amazement and wonder, it's never truly affected your soul. In other words, you've never found yourself with the shepherds bowing down at the feet of the Messiah. The word you've received has never truly changed you. It's never altered the course of your life. You've never surrendered yourself to this Christ. The wonder's there, the amazement is there, but it's never produced faith in you. There are many like that. But Mary, listen to this, Mary kept all that she received. Leah last night asked me if I had a box for a phone charger. I was like, well, yeah. And then I had to rifle through several drawers to find it. Why? Because it wasn't important to me. And there are a lot of, now if you go to my shelves where my tools are kept, that's an entirely different story. Debbie has heard me on a number of occasions say, I know I had this. And I can't find it. You see, many people in the world hear but don't keep what we hear. This word translated kept and signifies not merely to keep. It is to keep from guarding. In other words, you keep it because you guarded it. It is to keep it close. It is to intentionally hold on to it, to keep it all the while. Used to have people would tell me things and they would say, I want to tell you something. Now keep this in your back pocket. What they are saying was, you hold on to what I'm about to say because it may not make a whole lot of sense to you right now, but down the road it's going to make a lot of sense. You see, you and I have an obligation not only to hear, but to intentionally keep what we hear. And we'll get into that in a few moments, how important it is. How many of you have ever read something and you got finished reading the chapter or the page or the pages, whatever it is you were reading, and at the end of it you had no recollection of what you just read? You think, oh, I got to start again. Or, and even if you did grasp it, it might be that a week or two down the road or a few months down the road, you don't recollect it. That's why underlining and highlighting and all that stuff's important, making notes. She intentionally kept it. You see, because there's the danger of what we don't intentionally keep, the danger is it will fall away. It will slip away from us, use it or lose it, so to speak. Proverbs 4 and verse 4, he taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Psalm 119, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Intentionally keeping it, taking steps to ensure it stays in there. That's why perhaps the journal is important. I can't tell you how many times I've forgotten to do something or double book something. And Debbie's like, did you put it in your calendar? Captain Obvious. Clearly, I did not, because I wouldn't be having this conversation with you if I did. You see, there's the danger of letting things slip that we don't intentionally hold on to. When I was 14, 15, 16 years old, I was pretty adept at switch hitting. Now it's doubtful I'm adept at hitting at all. I haven't been to a batting cage, and I'm a little curious now how that would work out. I might hurt myself. Hebrews 2 and verse 1, there, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. You see, the danger is that we hear the word, whether in Sunday school, or hear the word as it was read by Ken, or hear a message preached, and we receive it with thankfulness in some respects, but we don't take steps to retain it. We don't take steps to ask ourselves, so what? And that's not a rude question. That's a question that you ought to ask every time you hear the word. You hear the word read, you read the word for yourself, you hear a sermon, always ask yourself that, so what? What am I going to do with it? How am I going to keep it? Because if we don't, it will slip away. And the reason Mary held on to it is because she didn't understand all of it immediately. How many times, whether it's from the Bible or somewhere else, have you been reading something or ran across a concept that didn't make any sense to you, but later on you heard something else related to that, and then it was like, oh, that's what that was. You see, Mary kept all these things because she knew, I don't understand all of it right now. I don't understand, and that's what I love about the song, Mary, Did You Know? Because a lot of it she didn't know, right? She didn't fully grasp all of it, but she knew she had gotten a message from the Lord. She knew this was important, so she's going to hang on to it in her back pocket, keep it close to her, because later on, when he turns water into wine, it's going to make a whole lot more sense. When Simeon says to her in chapter 2 later on, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and yea, a sword will pierce your own soul also. She didn't know what that meant then. But when she saw Christ hanging on the cross, some rejecting, some believing, then the words of Simeon made sense to her. So she treasured all that she received, but finally, she diligently pursued all that was revealed to her. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary meditated on these things. To ponder, the word translated ponder, your translation might say something a little bit different, but the idea is to bring together, to compare, to weigh facts, bearing together in her heart. In other words, it's comparing things. It's when you're putting a puzzle together, you're looking at the various pieces. And any piece will fit if you hit it hard enough. Yeah, just like, all right, fits! Don't put puzzles together that way. You're comparing things, rotating them around, getting to look at all the angles to see what the reality is. She meditated on these things. Do you know what I think is one vital aspect of Bible study that a lot of people miss out on? It's this right here. Just sitting and thinking on it. Because there are times when I'm studying, and I've studied a passage. I've looked up all the words in the Greek. I've read all the commentaries. And it just hasn't opened itself. yourself to me sufficiently. And so sometimes I have to just sit there, stare off into space, and of course pray. But to push back, to slow down, and to think on it. And someone recently said to me, I don't always understand the Bible. Well, you're part of the club. The idea is that you and I are to intentionally think on and meditate on the Word. You've all had annoying songs stuck in your head, and it's always just one or two lines. Intentionally put something else in your head. Psalm 1 and verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 15, Paul commands Timothy, meditate on these things. Give yourself wholly to them. She intentionally thought on these things. She compared all the things that she had heard with one another. It's like, well, this is what the angel told me. This is what Elizabeth told me. Here's what Joseph told me. Here's what the shepherds said. Painting the whole picture, attempting to understand it. Many scholars believe that she kept a written record of all that she had seen and heard, and that written record eventually made it into Luke's gospel. See, it is not only that she meditated on these things, but she sought to understand the things that were revealed to her. You see, as I've already said, she did not immediately understand all that she had seen or heard. Later events would help her to understand. But she gave diligence, that is, she worked hard to ensure that she understood these things, and she worked hard because she understood the value of it. Look at what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. In other words, the prophets of the Old Testament, they prophesied and then studied their own prophecies. Because they weren't entirely sure all that they had said. They received it directly from the Lord, a direct revelation from God. And so, ciphering on it, as one old fellow told me one time. He said, what you ciphering on? To think on it. To intentionally seek to understand. It's being intentional about the Word. You see, Mary's diligence in this area is a warning to us. It is wonderful that you and I have God's Word. Now, that's fantastic. You and I, we have so much access to God's Word. Many of you probably have multiple Bibles in your house. I think we probably have 20 or more. I'm not even kidding. And we got a bunch of them sitting in the library, a bunch of them sitting on my shelves in my office. We got Bibles all over the place. And if you happen to be in a place where you don't have a hard copy of the Bible, you got one right here, and it'll even read to you. Isn't that neat? That's wonderful. But Jesus said in Luke 12, verse 48, whosoever much is given of him shall be required, or shall much be required. You've heard the saying, to whom much is given, much is required. You see, it's wonderful to have God's truth presented to you. And as we sit here this morning hearing the Word, it's a wonderful opportunity. Notwithstanding, you got to hear it from imperfect lips. But you're hearing the Word of the Lord. And it's a wonderful thing that God gives us the opportunity, but we're held responsible for what we hear and what we do with it. You see, too often the case is, well, that's kind of neat. All right, what's next? And moving right along. But if we neglect the opportunities presented to us, we will be judged for our inaction. Mark chapter 13, Jesus is asked by the disciples why he speaks in parables, and here's what he says. He answered and said unto them, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. And here's the explanation. In other words, I'm speaking to you in parables because you're supposed to get it and they're not. Why are they not supposed to get it? Verse 12. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even what he has. In other words, what Jesus was saying is they've had the opportunity, they've had the word, and they haven't believed it. It hasn't led them to faith in me. They've rejected it. They've instead chose self-promotion and self-indulgence. And so because of this, consequently, even the good things they have will be taken away from them. But Mary's diligence also gives us a promise. You see, she kept all these things. She pondered them in her heart. She meditated on them. She sought to understand them. And no doubt, as the years progressed and the years went by, she fully understood. And what I am saying to you this morning, as A.W. Pink said, no verse of Scripture yields its truth to a lazy Christian. But what I am saying to you this morning is if you seek, you will find. If you knock, it will be opened unto you. I had a fellow at work ask me, when I was still bivocational, asked me, well, I sent an email, what do I do now? An answer he needed from somebody that was higher up in a different area. And I said, send another one. He said, really? I said, yeah. Send it every day. And if you don't get the answers you want, start copying more and more people. You'll get an answer. What I was saying to him was, keep knocking. And what I'm saying to you this morning is that if you want to know more about the Lord, if you want to know more about His Word, and if you want to grow, my advice to you is simply to keep searching, keep seeking, keep knocking, and I promise you, everyone that asks receives. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, he's speaking to one of the seven churches, and he said, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. What I am saying to you this morning is, if you are a believer, if you have trusted in Christ, I am telling you there is an open door of God's blessings, and you need to walk through it. You need to receive His Word. You need to meditate on His Word. You need to ask yourself the so what of His Word. But if you may be here and you've never trusted in the Lord. You're not a believer. You're not a Christian. You've never been born again. There is before you an open door this morning. You say, Pastor, how can you say that?
Don't you believe in God's sovereign power?
More than anybody else you know. I believe if I sneeze, it was divinely ordained from the foundation of the world. And I'm not even embellishing. I really believe that. But I also believe, knock and it shall be opened, seek and ye shall find. I believe that if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. You say, but. No, ain't no buts. No, there ain't no caveats to that. How can both be true? I don't know, but we'll ask him when we get there, all right? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You say, but I don't think. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. I don't think you'll save me. Hide and watch, Buster. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. He has before you an open door. And if you will believe on him, he will save you. But I'll also warn you this. Don't presume the open door will always be there. What I'm saying to you is take advantage of the opportunities you're given. So as we bring this to a close, I wonder how many of us would say that we respond to God's truth like Mary did. We have failed, no doubt, but there's mercy. I would encourage you as a believer to give attention to his word this morning, to store it in your mind, to seek to know him more, and you will discover the riches of Christ, and you will be able to say, like the Apostle Paul, who said, these are the unsearchable riches of Christ. But if you've never been born again, if you've never trusted him, if you trust in him, you will find peace for your soul. Trust him. Give diligence to what you have heard. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your people. Touch this feeble attempt and these scattered words. Use them for your glory, I pray. Encourage all of us to seek to know you more. And the one that may be here that does not know you as Savior, I pray today that they would trust in you and they would be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing, You Mind the Lord, if you need me to help you pray, I would love to help.
Oh, what a message. You can be here today, you can be gone today. What a message, John. Thank you. Page 445 in the Red Book, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bliss. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, may I thy contemplations share, till from Mount Pisgah's lofty height I'll view my home.
This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you for coming. If you need to talk to me afterwards, I'd love to help. Let's read our benediction together. Before we do that, I remind you, if you're part of the play, meet Lindsay right down here. And if you want to help Don shop for gifts and do some wrapping, meet him in the hallway that leads to the Sunday school room. Don't forget to look for your cards back there. All right. Yes. And the choir. All right. Romans 15, verse 13. Now the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Brother Jim Kenny, if you would, close us in.